Okay, we're going to do a little memory work in the Shorter Catechism, and let's begin with David. Do you know the king? Do you know the how doth Christ execute the office of a king?
Yeah.
Okay. How doth Christ execute the office of a king?
Christ executed the office of a king in subduing us to himself, ruling and defending us, and subduing and conquering all his enemies.
Good. Do you know many more after that?
I think 29.
Oh, wow. Good job. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ?
We're made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us.
Excellent. 30. 32 or 30 also? How doth the Spirit apply to us the redemption purchased by Christ? By working?
By working
faith
in us.
And thereby
uniting us
to Christ
in our
effectual calling. Okay. That's next on in line. Okay. All right. Eden, did you do number four? All right. Okay. What is God?
God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and
peace. Yeah. That's just the start, right? Okay. Okay. Since we're over here, Ethan, where are you working?
65.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Which is the fifth commandment?
Fifth commandment is to honor thy mother and father, that they may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee.
Good. What is required in the fifth commandment?
Fifth commandment requires preserving
the honor. Okay. We want to go to the next one? Let's just go to the next one. What is forbidden in the fifth commandment?
Fifth commandment forbids the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in the several places.
Okay. Good job, Ethan. All right, Monica. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? Good. And Nina, where are you working? 36. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification?
The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy of the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and service.
Excellent. Good job. And Annie, is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? Okay, are all transgressions of the law equally heinous? Okay. And I think that's it. Yeah. No kneelings. So, okay, we're good. Today, we are going to be at the question that Annie just answered. Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? No mere man since the fall. Did I say the wrong one? 82. No mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. Can anyone tell me what subject have we been studying for many, many weeks and months? Yes, we have. We have been studying sin. Anything more specific that we've been studying? Yeah, Annie? Oh, I thought you. No. What else? What have we been studying these last number of weeks and months? the Ten Commandments. Okay. Are the Ten Commandments easy to keep? No. Would some say that the Ten Commandments are easy enough to keep? And if so, why? Anyone? That's right. That's right. I'm sure you've had this kind of a conversation with somebody who doesn't know the gospel, and you're trying gently but clearly to explain to them why they need Jesus. To use the sermon that we talked about today, what category of people do they think that they are? They're not yet converted. They hear about Jesus, they think they don't need him. Using the language of the passage we considered, what category would they consider themselves? Any adults, maybe? Righteous. They consider themselves righteous.
Healthy.
Healthy, right? I'm fine. It's, you know, the checklist. If you have commandments 1 through 10, you got your pencil. Number 1, check. Number 2, check. 3, check. 4, check. Haven't done that one. You go on all the way down. Now, because we have been studying the Bible in a very in-depth way about the commandments, because we don't view the commandments as like, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not only about adultery, is it? It's not just about adultery. It stands for a whole number of different kinds of things that have to do with our bodies and the specialness that God has given to it, right? So we have studied Commandments 1 through 10. We've looked at what's involved in, say, the sixth commandment. It's not just don't kill, but also don't do those things that tend to death. What are some things that tend to death that may not seem so very bad, but they tend to death? Calling people. Why would calling somebody a name on the playground? You'd find some fault in this playmate on the playground. You know, why would calling him a name tend to the breaking of the sixth commandment, you shall not kill? Connect the dots for me. If I call you a name, Eden, just imagine I'm on your level, your age, I'm on the playground with you, and I call you a name, how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel good? What if they keep on calling you names and they get everyone else to make up a little song? It's a nasty song. Then how do you feel? You wouldn't really care? Yeah, that's a good attitude. I'm not sure I would be as good as you would be. You know, I'd kind of want to, you know, get in the ring with this guy. You know, even in our best moments, you know, we can be surprised when we're tempted to sin. Because somebody, this is baiting you. It's baiting somebody to fight you, right? And then one thing leads to another. And if God doesn't restrain any of that, it can. If all the stops were pulled out, it can lead to death. It has the tendency. Because where do wars begin? I mean, they begin with disputes, right? Okay, so we've done all of that study up to this point, and now we get to this question, is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? Now, just to make life a little easy for you, if you have a copy of the Shorter Catechism, you can open it to page 35, where the answer is, and the proof texts are right there. If not, you can just open the Bible to the proof text that I call out. But it's a convenient thing if we're singing out of the same songbook. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Anyone want to, any volunteers among the young people to read Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20? Raise your hand if you want to read Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. This is on page 35 of the Shorter Catechism. You want to go for it, Eden? No. Okay. How about Monica? Ecclesiastes 7:20. Nice and loud, please. There is not a just man. What does just mean? Here, does it mean like just a man? Like only a man? What do you think it means? Not sinful. Right. What's another related word to just that suggests that which is right and true? What's that? Righteous, yes. Justice, too, right? So there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, we are all, no doubt, to some degree, aware of the news, and there's a police officer in Minneapolis who is presently in a trial, and we don't know which way it's going to go, and we should all be cautious because only the jury is hearing all the arguments and weighing all the evidence. It could go either way. Is it possible, theoretically possible, that that police officer who is accused of using excessive force and killing a man, is it possible that he may be pronounced innocent? Yeah. Maybe, maybe. Now, if he was pronounced innocent, or considered that he was right, he was within his rights in doing what he did. And again, we're not entering into that debate right now, okay? But if he was, would we consider him, would the law, never mind public opinion, but would, in the eyes of the law, would he be considered just and righteous? In terms of the civil law. Would he? Again, not public opinion, okay? But in the eyes of the law, he wouldn't have an arrest warrant out for him, would he? The judge would pronounce innocent. Now, again, he may not be pronounced innocent. He may be. It may be found that he is guilty of using excessive force. And we could look at all different kinds of different cases, such as, if somebody is accused of murdering his wife, and he goes through a process in which, you know, evidence is submitted for and against, there's the prosecutor, there's the defending attorney, and the whole, you know, all the arguments are given, cross-examination, and in fact, this man is not guilty of it. Is he a just man? Is he? Are there any criminals here today? I hope not. And if there are any, maybe you should have a little visit with me afterwards. Okay? I'm going to take it and assume that you are not criminals. You are not unjust. You're not like in the category of Barabbas. Okay? I used to go and preach at the medium security facility, you know, in the ACI. Here, guys, they are not righteous. They are not just. But we're talking here in terms of the civil law within society. Is that the sense in which Solomon is speaking in Ecclesiastes 7:20? For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Is he talking about what we've been talking about here? No. Think of somebody, Nina, who's somebody that comes to your mind that you think is a good person? Your dad, okay. Your dad. In the on many different measurements, I would agree. But now if I'm to ask Mr. Snyder, are you a good man? How might you respond? No. Now when he says that, you and I all understand it. But if you are not a Christian and you were just a visitor today, you probably go, what's wrong with him? I mean, look, he's sitting with his lovely wife and family. They see he seems like a good guy. He's, you know, well-dressed. He's got a nice job. He's not a criminal. He's, you know, he's a good man. But right now, we're talking about in the view of the law of God. Now, that's a different story. Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? No. So Nina's right, in a sense, but that's not the sense we're talking about right now. Mr. Snyder's right, and that's the sense that we're presently talking about. Before God, he and everyone else here cannot perfectly keep the commandments of God. There's not a just man upon earth. It's like you go look for him and you can't find him. Right? Has anyone ever looked for something really hard and couldn't find it? Can anyone think of an instance, if you'd like to share an anecdote? Sam?
I lost a headphone.
Just
like one headphone.
One headphone. And it's frustrating because, you know, you got the other one.
Right.
But you can't find, and it's just this little thing, it's just going to annoy you. You just can't. Frustrating. Anyone lost their keys? I used to do that I used to do that all the time. Can be so very frustrating. I just had it, right? But this is the God himself speaking through Solomon is saying, I've scoured this earth. I have gone into the holiest places to look for one holy man. And could I find him? No. Paul says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. Okay, can I have a volunteer to read Genesis 8:21? You can either look it up in your Bible, or if you have the catechism here, it's right there, Genesis 8:21. Raise your hand if you... Oh, I see. Annie's raising her hand. Nina's helping her.
The Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from the youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living at all.
Okay. God is witness. Eden, do you think God is a reliable witness? Have you ever known somebody, Eden, that just always lied? Yeah. Can you trust that person? No. In fact, if they're lying so much, your kind of assumption is that whatever comes out of your mouth is a lie. In fact, this is how Paul puts it. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Okay? Now, man frequently will testify concerning himself and concerning others. We're good people. We're okay. We're healthy. We do not need a doctor. Right? But God has witnessed. For the imagination of man's heart is evil. From the time that he can drive? Is that when he starts having an evil heart? When he's 18? How about 16? Is 16 when people start being evil? How about 14? What's that? Somebody said something. Okay. When does it start? Yeah, when you're born. Yeah, right. Even in the womb, that's what the Bible says. And then nature only confirms this because even though they're so cute, oh, they're so precious, they're so innocent, and just you wait. They don't stay so very innocent. And it's not like, oh, all of a sudden they contracted. So I was out at Aldi's and somebody had sin. And my little infant got the sin from so-and-so. No, that's not how it works. It's there from the beginning, and it just ripens and develops. Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? No mere man, since the fall, is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God. Notice that qualification in this life. What does that suggest? That hints at something, doesn't it? Are there any, besides Jesus, are there any men or women right now who are sinless? Ooh, I threw you a curveball. Yeah. In this life?
No. Well,
okay. Oh, maybe I didn't ask it right. Let's see. Is there anyone? No, I guess I did ask it right. Is there anyone presently?
Yes.
Yes, but not in this life, right? So where would we find these innocent beings? In heaven. So notice that there's caution. The way they word this is careful. There will be a time when we, as believers, will be without sin. But it's not in this life. Right? Okay. Any volunteers for James 3, verse 8? Yes, David. James 3, verse 8. So notice Genesis 8:21 was mainly speaking about the mind, the sin of the mind. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Now we go to speech. Genesis 3:8.
But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison.
Okay. Have any of you heard this, that in South Florida, in the Everglades, it's a very swampy area, they have had an infestation of, I think they're boa constrictors or some kind of, you know, very, very large snake, and they're actually overtaking the either alligators or crocodiles. Right. It was introduced because people, nowadays you've got some very interesting pet choices, but they don't realize that some animals are just beyond the power to control. They just get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then before long, I'm like, I can't keep this in my house, so I'm just going to throw it in the back of my truck, and when no one else is looking, I'm just going to you know, dump it in the water. Problem solved. Only not problem solved. Now what, according to James 3:8, is untamable? What is it that cannot be tamed? Yes, Nina. The tongue. Now what does that mean, Nina? Now I know you like to talk, as Annie does too. If you want to be quiet, can you be quiet? Yeah. Is that what it's talking about? Stopping talking? No. In what sense is the tongue untamable? Yeah. There's this tendency in our speech. Sadly, even Christians, we find ourselves in this last week. Maybe your heart convicts you right now, things that you've said. And maybe it wasn't really sharp and piercing, but it was more passive-aggressive. Oh, it can be different kinds, can't it be? But it's still fire. It's still fire. And it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This is the way it is. In our minds, in our speech, there's just this constant tendency to break God's commandments. Last indeed, James 3:2. Anyone who'd like to read James 3:2? James 3, verse 2. Aubrey, why don't you read it for us? In many things. And who is writing this, Aubrey? I'm not writing this. With whom is James grouping himself? He's saying we, right? So who is he writing to?
It's the church.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not, right now when he's speaking this, he's not speaking broadly to just any group of people. He's talking to Christians. And he's saying, in many things, we offend all. Now, how frequently should we pray for our daily bread? At least daily, I would guess. How often should we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Every day. You know, we Americans, you know, we like to think we have good hygiene. You know, we get accustomed from our youngest days. I notice every single Wednesday night, whenever the senior Pattersons are on, I notice there's little Tabitha. She's in her pajamas, her hair's still wet, but it's nice and combed. I know she was in a bath. She probably got dirty that day, just like everyone else does. Well, even Christians, and by the grace of God, we would say that we are different from the world. We no longer wallow in the mud and in the muck. And if we do, then we're not Christians. But even we offend all. In fact, those of you who have been Christians for many years, do you ever find that you are disappointed in yourself because you still struggle with certain sins even after all these years? Do you ever find that? I think you do. Do you ever find, sometimes I just wonder if I'm making progress. I continue to get so frustrated, or I continue to deal with this temptation so very strong. So if that's the case with Christians, okay, then even by implication, what must it be like for those who have never seen the cross? I mean, what motivation holds them back? Okay, now, for our last exercise here, As we consider that no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but daily breaks them in thought, word, and deed. Let's take a sampling of some of the best believers, and let's take a look at them. Okay? Did Noah perfectly keep the commandments of God? No. Can you tell me when he did not? Oh, you're thinking of Moses. You're thinking of Moses. But we're going to get to Moses, so you're just ahead of us. He got all frustrated and struck that rock. But Noah, he was a righteous man. The Lord, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He entered into the ark. But was he a man who could perfectly keep the commandments of God? No. Was there ever a time that you can think when he didn't? Yeah. He got drunk. And then there was this embarrassing episode where his sons have to kind of cover him over because he's not dressed. Do you suppose that was Noah's one and only sin? You might say, oh, that's just the one sin that Noah ever committed. Do you think that that was the only sin that Noah ever committed? No. And if we have any doubts, we can just reread what we read. From man's youth, the imagination of man is only evil. What about Father Abraham? Was he able perfectly to keep the commandments of God, never breaking it in thought, word, or deed? Was there ever a time you can think of when he did not perfectly keep the commandments of God? Anyone? Father Abraham, the father of the faithful. Yes, Ken.
Oh, when he was celebrating, Eli brought his wife, said it was his sister.
Okay, but that's the only time he did that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the only time he lied and said, it's just my sister, right? Actually, it did happen twice. It happened twice. Well, at least the start of one. Yeah, I mean, what about Sarah, the mother of the faithful? She laughed. And she said she didn't. So these, already we've been looking at sins of the tongue. Right? Think of that whole sad episode with Hagar. Did Sarah have any sin in her heart that caused her to say to Abraham, Abraham, we're not having a child anytime soon. You have my handmaiden Hagar. You get together, you'll have a baby that way. Was that a sin or no? Oh, I would say so. It was certainly Abraham's sin, but also that she even thought of that in her heart because she didn't trust God. What about Job? The Lord says, beginning of Job, he says, have you seen my servant Job? That he is an upright man, one that fears the Lord and eschews evil. True or false? True. It would be a lie to say otherwise. But is Job able perfectly to keep the commandments of God, never breaking it in thought, word, or deed? He spoke about the sins of his youth. Yeah. 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 He said a number of things that I think even the best commentators have to admit were very excessive. I mean, the fact that he just wants to die. But notice this testimony. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch and my own clothes shall abhor me. You know, it was really the trial that kind of flushed out, even for a godly man who feared the Lord and eschewed evil. Isn't that the case? Oftentimes trials push us and then flush out some of the bad stuff that's inside. That's one of the reasons why trials are good for us. Because we've got these toxins. People like to talk about toxins in their bodies these days. We need to have a cleanse. Well, the Lord knows how to cleanse the toxins of our hearts by affliction. Moses, we already heard Moses. We see a number of instances of Moses failing to keep the commandments of God. One David mentioned. What's another?
When he broke the table.
He broke the tables? Okay. What else? Didn't circumcise his son? What about when God revealed himself to him and said, I want to send you to Pharaoh to speak for me? Did Moses say, oh Lord, most gladly will I do so? He argued with God. David. Now, of course, we know some of the major sins that David had in his life, but those aren't the only sins he ever confessed. I think, Brad, you mentioned earlier, do thou forgive my sins and faults of youth? We don't know what any of those were, but he knew. I am sure you're like me. You have certain sins and faults of youth that you remember. They're covered in the blood, but you remember them. No one else knows them but you and God and whoever else you may have offended many years ago. Right? And those are just sins of youth. Listen also to this testimony of David, Psalm 40:12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, my iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. That's what David says. And he's a justified man. He's the one who's saying, Psalm 32, oh, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. Oh, but surely you'll say the Blessed Virgin. The Blessed Virgin? She's immaculate. Did she have no sin? Can we think of an instance when she did not keep the commandments of God perfectly? That might be a harder one, Ken.
Well, one main text is that when she proclaimed, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior.
My Savior.
So she's recognizing that she was a sinner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Probably at the wedding at Cana, when she was getting her son to perform a miracle, and Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come.
What about when Jesus gets lost?
Oh, that's interesting. That, you know, that's a good point. I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm inclined to agree with you. Here's a good one. I mean, this was a godly woman, right? Very, very godly woman. So godly that she is a model for all other believing women. But she was still a believer who needed the cross of Christ. Peter, where shall we start? Well, But let's just close here with Paul, who is one who kept the law according to the flesh more than anyone else possibly could have, and yet who could say as a believer, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So however often I want to do good, you think that's just one time a day? Did Paul just have one good deed a day? You know, that's how some people talk. I've done my good deed for the day. Oh no, I think Paul wanted to do good things many, many, many times. And as many times that he wanted to do good, evil was present with him. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I think John Owen, in his masterful three treatises on sin, there's indwelling sin, there's mortification of sin, and I can't think of the third. In any case, Owen says, lusts in men are compared to hurtful and loathsome beasts, or men themselves are so because of their lusts. Now, such beasts keep to their dens and coverts. They never reveal themselves as much in their proper nature and rage as they do when they are most earnestly pursued. And so it is with sin and corruption in the heart. Now, we close by asking the question, why does the Catechism ask, no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God? What's that pointing to? Yeah, Steve.
Christ was no mere man.
Christ was no mere man. And Christ kept the law in its breadth and its depth for us. Well, let's close in prayer. Please stand. Oh Lord, we are so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. He has enriched us with his righteousness. Oh God, we take it, and Lord, may we now take that law and use it as a rule of life to thy praise. Amen.